Up to 72 months or factory cash assistance up to $5,000. And exclusive Formula Nissan discounts make this the easiest, best time to drive a new Nissan for less.
And Formula Nissan is the only place you'll find these savings. And find out why we're consistently ranked among the top Nissan dealers in Vermont.
Only at Formula Nissan on the Barry Montpelier Road next to Pizza Hut and at FormulaNissan.com.
Let us show you how easy it is to do business here.
Financing and approved credit, cash assistance on select vehicles. See dealer for details.
244-1777 is our local number. Toll free, 877-291-8255. Let's give a nice warm Radio Vermont welcome this morning to Ham Davis. Ham is a journalist who's been covering healthcare, was also a one-time regulator, head of the Hospital Data Council, a precursor to the Greenmount Care Board. And he's been writing about healthcare. He has a blog called avermontjournal.com, and he's kind enough to join us here live in our studios. Good morning.
Morning, Mark.
So let me get your take here. We just got off the phone here with Scott Milne talking about the election, who, you know, as I mentioned, I blew this call here. I think many people did. How did we all miss this?
I think that what we missed was not Milne's strength. What we missed was Shumlin's weakness. The vote, I think, was clearly a rejection of, especially the Shumlin style, and that's I can't read it any other way.
Let's talk about what its impact is on healthcare. How much of the vote do you think had anything to do with the website problems or this idea? Separate idea of future healthcare reform.
Well, I have no idea. I don't know how you could speculate about it, but I don't know how valuable that would be. I'm not sure how that works. I think for me, the question that bears most importantly now is what does it mean for where we go from here?
Right.
And I think there's some things that are clear, and I think there are some things that are not clear. One that I think is clear is that I think that the vote wiped out whatever was left of the momentum in favor of the legislature voting $2 billion to fund the single payer version of health care reform that is Peter Shumlin's centerpiece of his governorship so far. I think that I never did think that you could do that in 2015. I thought you might be able to possibly do it in 2016. There's no way that the legislature is going to get their arms around a monster like this in one session. It just isn't going to happen. And now it's the problems with the exchange, which really are not part of health care reform per se. The problems with the exchange had already put any hope for the Shumlin's $2 billion plan badly hurting. I think the election means that the legislature there's no chance the legislature is going to do that in 2015. I think there's even less there's less chance now that they will do it in 2016. What does that mean? Does that mean healthcare is gone? It means, what does that mean? What does Peter Shumlin do? I think the second effect that I think the election has is it has put enormous new pressure on Shumlin to shift his style in talking about his healthcare plan and how he's selling it to the public. He has not led the public to any understanding of what's involved in healthcare reform at all. And I think that a huge question, one that I can't answer, is whether he will be able to figure out a way to do that. Will he be able to figure out? Oh, it's enormously complex. It's very hard, and it almost certainly will be very painful. That's not Peter Shumlin's preferred mode of operation. He likes to be happy. Everything's going to be fine. He's going to be able to do it. There's going to be no problems. That was his view on that was his approach on the exchange. It didn't work, and it's not going to work on healthcare reform, which is actually much harder than the exchange. The third thing I would say is that what I think, and I've written this, but I think that really nobody gets it or believes it because it hasn't been shown. It's been talked about, but it has not been demonstrated, and that is that healthcare reform does not depend now on Peter Shumlin. Healthcare reform is being driven by Act 48, which is state law, which has established the Green Mountain Care Board with the mandate from the legislature, not from Pete Shulman, although it was certainly Shulman's plan. Legislature has ordered, in effect, established the Green Mountain Care Board, ordered the Green Mountain Care Board to get costs under control, and not only that, but the real key to health care reform is how you rebuild the system so that the delivery system, the system of doctors and hospitals, so that you can have sustainable costs out into the future. Nobody has seen yet what that means. And what that and that process is what is critical to healthcare reform.
Okay, but you say healthcare reform can be done without Peter Shumlin, but you're talking about the delivery of healthcare, not how it gets financed, right?
No, it absolutely can involve how it gets financed. Don't forget that the Green Mountain Care Board has the power to establish hospital budgets, which that involves, that also includes, wraps in 2/3 of the state's doctors.
Right.
They get to do that. Not only that, they get to control the infusion of capital into the system, and they also have a mandate to change the payment mechanism in the system, and in fact, the system itself. And so that is a huge amount of power. There's a second, and that will continue. I don't think there's any chance that Act 48 will get repealed. And one of the reasons for that is that the Republicans are having a field day because Shumlin's inactivity on selling his own plan left the Republicans a gap that they could drive a truck through, which they then did. Okay, but the Republicans have no answer. Not any answer for how to get healthcare costs under control.
All right. Well, what about their idea? I know they're not talking about costs, but they were talking the other day about scrapping the Vermont healthcare website and going on the federal exchange.
Well, they could do that. I mean, I'm not sure whether that's a good idea or not, but that doesn't have anything to do with controlling costs, okay? That is the exchange, which is wrapped up in the idea of healthcare reform and is in a certain general sense, but the exchange is simply a way to increase the coverage of Medicaid. That's all it is. It just increases Medicaid. And Medicaid has been out there since 1966. That is not a new idea. All it is the coverage. Power Dean increased the coverage of, in effect, Medicaid's type healthcare insurance. So the if they could do that, but that wouldn't do anything. Going to the federal exchange and dropping Vermont Health Connect would do absolutely zero for controlling costs. It would do zero for rebuilding the payment system for Vermont doctors and hospitals. It would do zero for actually getting the whole thing sustainable.
But it might build people's confidence that at least the state government could manage something effectively.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm not sure what, you know, that is true. People's confidence about it is very important. On the other hand, the reality is that, and this is another way, Shulman could have said this, and he could have laid this out, and people have told it to him. The Vermont state government isn't going to run any healthcare system. It's not going to run any healthcare system. So you say, you give them confidence that they could run something like this. They can't run something like this, and people shouldn't have confidence. What they'll do is they'll find what's called a third-party administrator. It is almost certainly
Blue Cross.
Is that Blue Cross, which is, you know, this has been their business forever, and they will run the paperwork, the computers, and all that kind of stuff to run the back shop machinery. So I don't think that the exchange, whether they, the Republicans can't do that anyway, but I don't think that matters that much.
244-1777 is our local number, toll-free 877-291-8255. We're talking with journalist Ham Davis about healthcare reform. He blogs at avermontjournal.com. I know this doesn't really have anything to do with healthcare reform, but the healthcare, the website, the exchange, this idea that you can spend $100 million on this and it isn't working, Can you for the life of you understand how you could spend $100 million on this?
You know, Mark, I like to think I know something about this. I have the faintest idea. I mean, I don't know how you do that. They have other states have done this made the same mess on the other, like Oregon, okay, which has made a bigger mess than Vermont did. But then you get a state like Kentucky, a state like Connecticut, and they made it work fine.
Yeah.
And New York works. So how that actually, the only thing that I have some confidence in, which is doesn't mean that I understand. I don't understand it. I'm not saying I have the answer. The only thing I believe is that beginning last June, when they put Lawrence Miller in there to start trying to fix Vermont Health Connect, I believe that Miller will be able to do it. When will he be able to do it? I have no idea. Will it be by November 15th? The sort of first self-imposed deadline, or deadline imposed by the cycle for signing up, for people signing up for the exchange? No. I don't. It will work partly. It may work by hand. It's a huge, huge, huge mess. And it's way beyond my pay grade. I have no understanding of why that is.
Maybe put these on 244-1777. It's our local number. Toll free 877-291-8255. Let's go to Montpelier. Hi, Jed. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Have a point. I listened to Scott Mill and his taking on the Secretary of State with regard to not knowing when the last request for recount is. On their website, it is, in fact, stated as November 12th. And if you look at the, if you go to go to Google, you look up the state statutes, and you find, in fact, it is it's supposed to be today, but because it's a holiday, they bumped it up to the 12th. So that's in statute. I don't know where Scott Milne, who he's talking to, but they're sure giving him the wrong advice, because the statute says it's today, and because of the holiday, they set it for tomorrow.
Because it's a holiday, they set it for Wednesday?
Apparently, it's supposed to be Tuesday. It's supposed to be Monday, the 11th. But today is, I believe, Veterans Day?
Well, today is the 10th, and tomorrow's the 11th.
Okay, tomorrow's the 11th. And it's tomorrow, I believe, is Veterans Day?
Yeah.
Okay, the next day is the 12th, and that's, they just bumped it up one day.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry.
No, I got you. All right.
I forgot what day it was.
All right.
And number two is that I've talking to a lot of people, the vote was against Shumlin, not for Milne, that people were totally dissatisfied the way he's performed. And a lot of people voted for Feliciano for this, that I talked to, just as a protest.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even really know what Feliciano's platform was, one way or the other. They just, it was protest.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Right,
appreciate
bye.
It. Let's head over to Waitsfield. Jim, good morning.
Hi, Mark. So I have a comment, and Ham, I'm not trying to insult you here, but as far as I know, I've lived in Vermont 25 years. You've been working on this issue for like 15, maybe. You worked with Anya Ryder, you've worked with Democratic governors, and when Mark said to you, would switching to the, getting rid of Vermont Health Connect and switching to the federal exchange make a difference? You said you didn't know. I mean, I think that's part of the problem with this whole process. You're one of the state's experts on this, and you said you don't know. I mean, I think that's a problem.
Well, I think you're giving me maybe more credit than I deserve. It hasn't been 15 years. It's been
40.
35 years. so maybe I have even less of an excuse. I simply don't know, and I'm not interested in trying to say that I do. I do not think my reason. It's not that I think I couldn't figure it out, and I'm actually going to try and figure it out. Lawrence Miller is going to hold a press briefing this coming Wednesday to explain what's going on. I'm going to go to that. I have never really looked at it, and one of the reasons is that I don't consider healthcare exchange to really be healthcare reform. I think that that is a bureaucratic kind of thing. I have no idea why they can't fix it. And if somebody wants to think that I'm, you know, to take me to task for that, then I'm admitting it.
Okay, well, I guess I'd say that I think one of the reasons Peter Shumlin, so many people voted against Peter Shumlin, is that all these people acting like, and you can be excluded because you're not part of this administration, who are acting like they know what the hell they're doing, and they don't. It's quite clear they don't, and they keep saying they do, and I think people understand when somebody says, I know what I'm doing, and it's clear they don't. That it makes a difference, and that's, I think, what happened.
I agree. I totally agree with that, and I think that the person that you need to talk to is Mr. Shumlin.
You're right.
He'll be joining us on Friday, by the way. 244-1777 is our local number. Toll free 877-291-8255. Governor Shumlin joins us Friday. Lawrence Miller, the healthcare he's in head of healthcare reform now, will be joining us on the program on Thursday. 244-1777 is our local number. Toll free 877-291-8255. This is repetitive, but I want to ask you this in sort of the same way I asked you before. There is, though, in your mind, a connection between the healthcare exchange and future healthcare reform because it indicates management or lack of management. Yes? No? Maybe?
Well, yes, in that sense, and that's one of the issues that has never been explained. People have been begging for it to be explained. And in private conversations, Governor Shumlin has always been clear about this. I can't tell you the number of times he's said, the state of Vermont is not going to run an insurance company. What they'll do is they'll leave that to Blue Cross, I assume it'll be Blue Cross, and everybody assumes it'll be Blue Cross, but it could be any competent third-party administrator. And so they should do that. But the fact remains, in my view, that the harder job is not figuring out a computer system to pay stuff that's obviously easy to pay. The much harder problem is to rebuild the delivery system.
Jim says that he feels that the administration, that the people, that the governor and the people that work for him, quote, don't really know what they're doing when it comes to health care reform. Is that fair?
No, it isn't fair. But once again, I'm perfectly, you know, prepared to say that they've made a mess out of the exchange. But in my view, the Act 48 and the plan that they have for health care reform, what they intend to do with this is awesome. If the administration of it may not have been good, but it's not true, absolutely not true, that nobody in this administration understands healthcare. They understand it better than anybody else. They don't know how to get a computer system to expand Medicaid is essentially what that is.
When you say it's going to be awesome, I don't think I understand what that means. So what do you interpret to be the goal that would be quote-unquote so awesome?
The goal would be to bring healthcare costs down to a sustainable level. It has never been true since World War II, and it now eats up almost 20% of our gross national product. It is a cancer, and curing cancer is a heck of a big job. And Act 48 is the single best piece of legislation aimed at doing that. Now, whether it succeeds or not is out there. It's not done yet. Okay, but that is what, in my view, that is what healthcare reform is about. The act, the Green Mountain Care Board is great. The design of the plan is great. Okay, the plan didn't have anything to do with the exchange.
But we don't even know what the plan is, right?
I understand that, that is the failure. That is probably one of the results of one of the significance of the campaign of the election results. Shumlin has not taught people what he's trying to do. People have no clue what Peter Shumlin is trying to do about healthcare reform.
But how can you, okay, so, but how can you say that it's awesome? It sounds to me like somebody saying that a present inside a box with wrapping on it's going to be really great, and you have no idea what's in there.
I think you do have. You have a lot of ideas what's in there. You have you've got the Green Mountain Care board. You've got the Mullen triggers. There's all kinds of things in there. They are positive things. Al Gobay and the Green Mountain Care board and Anya Rader Wallach have already bent the cost curve by 200, but they've cut it by to a third of what it was, and that's in a fairly short time. And they're rocking and rolling on the reorganization of the system. We haven't mentioned One Care yet, but that's another important piece of it. That is the establishment of an accountable care organization. That is to say, it's just a buzzword, but what it means is a way to organize the medical community, okay, so that they can do the job right, so that they can take financial risk. That is the part of Obamacare that really counts, not the exchange.
Let's go to Moncton Ridge. Fred, good morning.
Well, you know, I think if Scott would have got his attitude, Scott had a pissed off attitude this morning on the phone. And if he'd had that attitude during the campaign, instead of the Casper Milquetoast attitude, I'm not calling names this morning here, but he sounds like he couldn't be governor today. But last week and the weeks before and whatever, he didn't sound it. He didn't sound like he had the fire in the belly.
All right. Any questions for Ham Davis, Fred? All right, you're gone. Okay, let's head over to Sheldon. Ruth, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Great show. First, I think your guest is giving too much credit to Anya Rader and Al Gobay. I think what was driving down health care costs are people's inability to pay for it. And I am very disappointed with the Green Mountain Care Board because they raised Blue Cross and Blue Shield's rates 7.7%. Now, people are going to start getting their bills in a week or two in November, and they're going to find out how much their health insurance has gone up. These are the people who pay for the insurance. They're getting higher rates. Yes, the Democrats had a big plan to put a lot of people onto Medicaid so that the government could pay for them, so that they could get subsidies from the government. But who pays those subsidies? It's the taxpayer. So either way, the taxpayer gets hit with higher bills. And your guest said that nobody has a plan to reduce health care costs. And I've had a plan for years, and it's to say no to cost shifting. And right now, when people get their Blue Cross and Blue Shield bills at the higher increased rate that the Green Mountain Care Board gave them, they can say, no, I'm not paying this increase. I'll pay what I paid last year, but I am not going to pay for the increase of the people that you put into Medicaid and you cost shifted the cost over to me. I'm not paying it. It's a good plan. It works. I used it. Other people have used it. It works. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your call.
I think that there's a point here that you're missing. One is that the Green Mountain Care Board took the cost for the insurance companies up 7.7%. But if you look from 1990 to 2009, those annual increases for commercial insurance, which I think is what you're talking about, ran at twice that.
Okay, but wasn't inflation a lot higher? I mean, we're in a sweet spot here of good inflation, right? I mean, isn't that a factor?
No. The reality is we've had low inflation for a good while now. And if you take the inflation rate from, say, 2000 to 2009, runs about 1.7 to 2. And the rate of, and during that period, the annual increases in the hospital budgets every year was in the neighborhood of anywhere from 8 to 12.
Let's go to Sheldon. Ted, good morning.
Yes, good morning, and thank you very much. One thing that isn't talked about so much, because there's so much fuss over the things, let me get that other radio off, is just the assurance of health care. Assurance, which Howard Dean had a lot to do with the children in the state, having assurance of health care. And I think if when the at the end of the rainbow here is assurance of Vermonters for health care not hooked up to their employment or a great big bill. You know, if a young person is being creative and effective, maybe needs to get married, a factor isn't the health care. It's doing what needs to be done, in their life and for the good of the state. Anyhow, that's a point that I think is worth working toward.
I don't understand your point.
Okay, assured. If a person, like I've had every kind of health care in the state, being so-called self-insured. I got here in the 60s, early 60s, and I've been young and self-insured and sort of feeling, well, you know, it'll work out. And I've had very expensive insurance. And at one point, you know, I was realizing it was foolish as I was getting older. I've been lucky enough not to have health problems. But assurance of health care, like you hear people getting a job, like if someone has to stay in this job just because it's the health care for the family. It's the benefit.
All right.
And person has assurance of health care, it's a whole different head.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Well, the assurance of health care is a part of really all reform plans. The problem is how to get there and how to get it done. The number of uninsured people that don't have that kind of insurance has dropped considerably, but it is not gone. And whether we can get to the ultimate of the healthcare reform idea, which is that you qualify for receiving healthcare simply by virtue of being a resident of the state of Vermont. We're not there yet, but that is certainly the goal.
Let's go to Essex Junction. Good morning, Dave.
Yes, good morning. I'm just calling to ask Eric a question, his opinion, if I may. The Vermont Digger site has a headline right underneath the top there where they describe the GOP, Vermont GOP's proposal to scrap Vermont Health Connect and go to the federal system. What concerns me is this. The Supreme Court is taking up
right. The
question of whether tax subsidies for a federal system is legitimate.
Yeah.
And the idea that Don Turner would try to rush through a disassembling of Vermont Health Connect prior to the Supreme Court making their decision, which probably won't come until June or so, has me deeply concerned. I think it's premature, and I'm concerned that Phil Scott, in the video presser here on Vermont Digger, is right in the front of this thing, and my understanding was that he was a little bit more moderate around this issue. Could you give your opinion on that?
We're actually talking with Ham Davis, but I'll have him comment on it. Let me see if I can flesh this out a little bit, but thank you for your call. There's a case that the Supreme Court has agreed to take up, which will then get back into this question of whether or not subsidies are allowed to people that are on federal exchanges, not state exchanges. It says pretty explicitly in the law that it's only supposed to apply to state exchanges. A lot of people feel that was an error on the part of the legislature, may have been a misinterpretation, which is what the Supreme Court's going to get into. Anything you want to add to that?
Well, I think there's a couple of things I would say. This was a striking election. The Republicans had way out performance, not only in defeating, putting a terrific scare into Peter Shumlin, but gaining seats in both the House and the Senate. Having said that, Don Turner isn't going to rush anything through the House or the legislature. The legislature is still very strongly controlled by Democrats. Shumlin is still the governor, and the Republicans do not have even close to enough power to pass anything that the Democrats don't want to happen. The more difficult question really is if the Supreme Court voted to wipe out benefits for states with only the federal exchange on at the first reading, sort of at the first level, that would not affect Vermont because Vermont has a state exchange.
Right.
On the other hand, I think that if the Vermont, my just view is, I'm not a lawyer, I think it's very hard to tease out what that would be, but I think that if the Supreme Court takes the action you're talking about, then that will be a very that will be a very difficult signal for Obamacare and for federal health care reform. I think that's a terrific danger to health care reform.
Let's go to Corinth Forbes. Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
It's quite well known that one of the big problems that led to all this was the fact that 25% of the population was underinsured or had no insurance. And, of course, that was being amortized into the existing policies that people had to compensate for the losses there. And a few other issues, but those were all identifiable problems. Why in the world didn't we deal with those problems up front, which would have simplified this thing and not turned it into a bureaucratic nightmare that it is?
Well, tell me, give me an example of what you mean. I'm not sure I understand.
Well, if 25% of your population doesn't have insurance or is underinsured, seeks medical care, that cost through the hospitals and doctors and whatnot are actually amortized into the paying portion.
Right.
All right. Well, that's pretty identifiable.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a
All
problem.
Right. Okay, so why not solve that first, right?
The I think you're absolutely right about the fact that there is a lot of underinsured, there's a significant piece of the population is in Vermont that is underinsured. The original exchange was built so that it would eliminate that kind of thing. It has a minimum value or actuarial value, which is just a buzzword for how much of the total cost the government pays. It has values that doesn't have any values lower than 87%. But in the past, you're absolutely right. The people that have to pay, instead of paying 13% or something like that, they've had to pay as 40, 50, 60%. That is one of the targets, if you will, of healthcare reform. It's not over yet. And the ideal, anyway, in all of the in Act 48 and in all of the planning documents so far that have been seen, the goal is to eliminate underinsurance as much as possible.
Well, okay, just to finish here. Fine, you recognize it, and I recognize it, and everyone else does, and there isn't anybody that doesn't want to get a handle on a health care situation. But why not take and go phase one, phase two, phase three, but eliminate some of these problems in somewhat of a simpler manner, one that everyone can understand and get on board with? Look what we have now.
Well, this is a complex issue, but as a practical matter, there is a lot of activity. There's not been much about it in the press, but there's been a fairly strong movement. I've written about it a couple of times. It's a pretty strong movement to manage and implement healthcare reform differently. That is to say, instead of taking a big one-time shot in the legislature that costs $2 billion or whatever, that what you should do is just come in more gradually, and it really almost exactly the way you've just described, come in more slowly, move step by step, a sort of salami slicing approach. Do find out small steps that will work, see them work, build confidence with that, and then keep going. What I think is going to happen, just jumping ahead to speculation that hasn't worked very well so far, but is that what you'll see is Shumlin's plan will go into the legislature with a $2 billion bill. It almost certainly will be heavily debated, both in the 2015, at least in the 2016 session, but probably also in the 2015 session, as to whether the sort of go slow phasing approach is better. That I think that question is going to get debated, and I think if you had to bet money, if you took this to Las Vegas, you'd find the odds in favor of the salami slicing option stronger than the one big shot at a time option.
And I know you don't want to interpret Tuesday's election, but do you think that was part of the message too? Slow down on this?
I don't think that, no, because one of the huge problems here is that, and partly Shumlin's fault, but not certainly not all Shumlin's fault by any means, I don't think the public or even the legislature really understands the complexity of healthcare reform at all yet.
All right, we're going to pick up on that note. Ham's going to join us for a portion of our next hour as well, too. We'll take your calls at 244-1777. That's our local number in central Vermont. And you can also reach us on our toll-free lines at 877-291-8255. Governor Shumlin joins us Friday. The head of healthcare reform, Lawrence Miller, joins us on Thursday. Keep your dial right here. This is FM 96.1 WDEV Warren, broadcasting from the top of Sugar Bush, FM 96.5 in Barrie and Montpelier, 101.9 in the Kingdom, and AM 550 WDEV Waterbury and Montpelier. News is next.